Mark chapter 6. And Jesus went out from there and came into his own country, and his disciples follow him. When the Sabbath was come, he began to teach in the synagogue. Now the Sabbath was when people didn't work and they went to the synagogue. That's like the church where the Jews worshipped on a Saturday. And the people who heard him were amazed, saying, "From whence has this man these things? And what wisdom is this given to him, that even such mighty works are worked by his hands? Isn't this the carpenter, the son of Mary, brother of James and Joseph and Judah and Simon? And aren't his sisters here with us?" And they were offended at him. But Jesus said to them, "A prophet is not without honor, but in his own country, among his own family, and in his own house. And he could do there no mighty work, save that he laid his hands upon a few sick folk and healed them. And he marveled because of their unbelief, and went around about the villages teaching." Now, Jesus had lived for 30 years in that village as the carpenter, and he'd never sinned, because Jesus never sinned. Well, it says he was a carpenter, although that could just mean that he was a manual worker. So, no one realized that he was anything extra special. But he never sinned. Now, whenever we try to be a bit more righteous than the people around us, they all think that we're getting all religious and they don't like it. But somehow, and this is the beauty of the character of Jesus, that he was able to live for 30 years, growing up there, never sinning, and yet people didn't think he was anything special. They thought he was just the carpenter. And when he stands up now in the synagogue and starts teaching like he's the Son of God and the Messiah, they said, "It can't be, because we know you, and yeah, we know your brothers and sisters and all that." And that's the art, really, of being a true Christian, to live a godly life, and yet without making people think that we're these sort of religious, nutty kind of people. And Jesus called unto him the 12 and sent them out by two and two. Now 12 divided by two makes 6, so he sent out 6 pairs. And he commanded them that they would take nothing for their journey save only a stick or a staff, no bread, no money in their purse, to wear sandals and not take 2 coats, 2 jackets. And he said to them, "In whatever place you enter into a house, there abide until you leave that place. And whoever won't receive you nor listen to you, when you leave there, shake off the dust under your feet for a testimony against them. I tell you, it will be more tolerable for Sodom and Gomorrah in the day of judgment than for that city." What that means is that when Jesus comes back, people will be judged. Those who are responsible to Jesus, those who have heard the gospel at different times, will be judged. And that includes the people of Sodom and Gomorrah, and it includes these villages that the disciples went and preached in. And if people hear the message and say no to it, well, they will have to be resurrected and judged. And there will be different degrees of punishment. The people of Sodom and Gomorrah will be punished less than those people in the first century villages in Galilee who were given the message by the disciples of Jesus. So how we live now is going to lead to us being judged at the last day. And so we've got to remember that we are responsible to the day of judgment. So the disciples went out and preached that men should repent. And they healed lots of people and anointed with oil many that were sick. And King Herod heard of him, because his name was spread abroad. And he said, "John the Baptist is risen from the dead, and that's why this man's doing mighty works." Others said, "No, this is Elijah." Others said, "This is a prophet, or like one of the prophets." When Herod heard about it, he said, "No, this is John, whom I beheaded. He has risen from the dead." For Herod had taken hold upon John and put him in prison for the sake of Herodias, his brother Philip's wife, because he'd married her. For John had said to Herod, "It's not lawful for you to have your brother's wife." Therefore Herodias had a quarrel against John and would have killed him, but she couldn't. For Herod feared John, knowing that he was a righteous man and a holy man. And when he heard him, he did many things and heard him gladly. But when a convenient day was come, and Herod on his birthday made a party to his lords of Galilee. And when the daughter of Herodias came in and danced, and pleased Herod and them that sat with him, the king said to the girl, "Ask me whatever you want, and I'll give it to you." He was probably drunk. And he promised her, "Whatever you'll ask of me, I'll give it to you, even the half of my kingdom." So she asked her mother, "What shall I ask?" And she said, "The head of John the Baptist." So immediately she came in to the king and asked, saying, "I would like that you give me immediately on a plate the head of John the Baptist." What a horrible thing to do. You don't have to do what other people tell you to do. The king was very sorry, but for the sake of his oath and the sakes of those who sat with him, he would not refuse her. So he sent an executioner and commanded John's head to be brought. And the executioner went and beheaded John in the prison and brought his head on a plate and gave it to the girl, and the girl gave it to her mother. So John was respected by Herod, but he was forced to do what he didn't want to do by his own pride. He could have just said to her, "No, I'm not going to do that." But he didn't want to lose face because all the other men were there, and he'd said, "Yeah, I'll give you anything you want, literally anything you want." And so he was so proud that he couldn't say, "No, I'm not going to give you that." And so because of his pride, he ended up killing his friend. Well, a man whom he respected, let's put it that way. And we've got to be really careful that we don't do that, that we destroy our friendships for the sake of how we think we're going to look in the eyes of people, or because we said something that we feel we've got to do. You've got to do what is right, even if that means admitting that you have been wrong. So when his disciples heard of it, they came and took up his corpse, that's the body of John, and put it in a tomb. And the apostles gathered themselves together to Jesus and told him everything, what they'd done and what they'd taught. And he said to them, "You come into a desert place and have a rest." For there were many coming and going, and they couldn't even eat. So they went into a desert place by boat privately. But the people saw them departing and recognized them and ran on their feet. From all the towns and overtook them and came together to them. That means that when they landed on what they thought was a deserted place, there were the crowds yet again. So Jesus was so stressed, and the disciples, by all these people, all these crowds. So what does Jesus do? He was moved with compassion toward them because they were as sheep not having a shepherd. And pity, he was sorry for them because they were sheep not having a shepherd. The scribes and Pharisees were not good shepherds, and he began to teach them many things. So that just shows his love for people, that he really wanted a break. But then this crowd comes yet again and are there meeting him, and he teaches them because he has pity for them. And this should be our motive as we preach the gospel, that we have compassion, that we have pity for people. Now when the day was now far spent, the disciples came to Jesus and said, "This is a desert place, and the time is far past. Send them away, that they may go into the area round about here and into the villages and buy themselves food. They've got nothing to eat." Well, that wasn't very realistic, because there were thousands of them. There wouldn't have been enough shops. They'd have needed huge supermarkets to feed them, and they didn't have them in those days. Jesus said to the disciples, "You give them to eat." And they said to him, "Shall we go and buy 200 pennies worth of bread and give them to eat?" Now, you worked for a penny a day in those days, so that was a lot of money, 200 days' work. He said to them, "How many loaves have you? Go and see." When they knew, they said, "We've got 5 and 2 fishes. Jesus commanded them to make all sit down in groups upon the green grass. And they sat down in groups by hundreds and by fifties. And when Jesus had taken the 5 loaves and the 2 fishes, he looked up to heaven and blessed and broke the loaves and gave them to his disciples to set before them. And the 2 fishes divided he among them all. And they did all eat and were filled. And they took up 12 baskets full of the crumbs and of the fishes. And those who ate of the loaves were about 5,000 men. Now this is all rather similar to the breaking of bread, that he He took the bread, he looked up to heaven, he blessed it, and gave it to the disciples, and it was divided. So Jesus was willing to fellowship with all these random strange people because he wanted to bring them to himself. He was open to people. We've got to be careful that we don't slip into any mentality that says we're closed and you're not good enough and check you out first. His compassion was quite different. Immediately afterwards, he forced his disciples to get into the ship and to go back to the other side, near to Bethsaida, while he sent away the people. When he'd sent them away, he went into a mountain to pray. Poor Jesus was so exhausted, he'd gone to this remote place to get a break from people. And he didn't get that. And it was all a whole day's teaching and all the drama of the feeding miracle. And he doesn't just think, oh, now I deserve a night's sleep. He goes into the mountain on his own to pray. And you must always do this in your life, to have time to pray on your own, on your knees, not just because other people are praying or your mum and dad are praying and the family prayers, but on your own to get on your knees and pray. You see Daddy doing that. After I put you to bed, I get on my knees and pray by your beds. And that's a really important time for me. And I hope that you'll do the same. So when evening came, the ship was in the middle of the sea and he was alone on the land. And he saw them struggling as they rowed, for the wind was against them. And about the fourth watch of the night, he comes unto them walking on the sea and would have walked by them. But when they saw him walking on the sea, they thought it was a ghost and they cried out. Now, ghosts don't exist, because when we're dead, we're unconscious. And there's no spirit or ghost that comes out of a person and goes on living. So they were wrong in this. They went back to their old beliefs. But immediately Jesus talked with them and said, "Be comforted, it's I. Don't be frightened." And he went up unto them into the ship, and the wind stopped. And they were really amazed and wondered, for they had not considered the miracle of the loaves, for their heart was hardened. When they had passed over, they came into the land of Gennesaret and came to the shore. And when they were come out of the ship, immediately people recognized him and ran throughout the whole area and began to carry about in beds those that were sick wherever he was. Wherever he entered into villages or city or country, they laid the sick in the streets and begged him that they might touch, if it were but the border of his clothes, and as many as touched him were made whole. So poor Jesus, he was so exhausted, he kept on and on and on working, trying to have a break, but God continued to send people to him. And Jesus never turned anyone away. He never said, "Look, I'm not working today. Look, I'm really tired. Sorry. Come back tomorrow." He was always willing to meet with people. And this should be our example in doing God's work.